13, Luke chapter 13. Just what I like, I've never preached through Luke. I'm just enjoying it. It's freshness. It's preaching, teaching is always different than reading, and reading is good. Studying is better. Meditating is even right up there with studying. I think it's pondering, thinking, soaking, and just keeping God's word in the forefront of your mind that it might get into your heart. So Luke chapter 13, let's read the first 17 verses. There's kind of three different, illustrations here, three different true accounts that Jesus provides. He gives a parable in the middle, but I think they all neatly fit together with the thought, the difference between religion and true salvation. So with that title, maybe you'll be like, I don't know where he got that title from this, but Luke chapter 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, not at all. No. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 people, upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, and slew them, killed them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, not at all, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. Parable is just an illustration that comes along side existing revealed truth. He spake also this parable, verse 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why are we even wasting the ground that this tree is taking up? Because it's not doing anything. Just sucking up the nutrients of the ground and not providing anything. Verse 8. That was all commentary, by the way. Verse 8. And he answering, this would be the caretaker. Again, this is an illustration of the dresser, the farmer, if you will. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, fertilize it, try to get it going. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. I will tell you, I don't know if I'll mention this again, but spirit of infirmity, it is, there are some illnesses that are caused by the devil. And Jesus even talked about being loosed of the devil. Super interesting, right? So I'm not saying all. That would be terrible. It's not for us to determine that. But that's you individually. You individually. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Some physical battles are actually caused by the devil, sin, whatever it might be. You know, you're getting old and you're sore, of course, you're old. But now I can't relate to that, one day, maybe no. I'm sore today, and these guys are like, what did you do yesterday? I was managing Jaron and Levi. You know, that was major work. Now, Jaron did a great job. He's feeling really good. I'm very pleased, right? But, you know, I had the hardest job. There's no doubt about it. Stephen just checks out and builds a ramp and an exit platform. Big deal. You know this. Who had the tougher job? Anyway, I love being with the boys. They did an awesome job. That has nothing to do with the message. Sorry about the sidetrack. If only you knew 90% of the things I don't tell you that go through my mind, you are blessed. Verse 10 again, third section of this message this morning. And he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. You can see how it's described. That's why I've even had that discussion. And was I'm trying to think. It's bowed together, right? Yeah, bowed together. I want to say bowed, but I looked this up for you guys because you guys are helping me with my grammar and my diction and my pronunciation and all of that because you're on me. And but it could be bowed if it was a instrument, but it's bowed. Okay, I'll forget that next week. And it's Pharaoh, not Pharaoh, but anyway, for some of you got on Wednesday night. All right, there's something wrong today. Verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could be in no wise lift up herself. So, I mean, she just can't lift up 18 years. Can you imagine that? 18 years she was in this. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, just boom, and glorified God. Verse 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. You got to be kidding me. This guy, he's a ruler. He's a spiritual leader. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, There are 6 days which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, you see, that gives me more insight into what I told you earlier. Verse 16, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? The response is somewhat unique. I don't see this a lot when Jesus has this strong rebuke. But and when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Again, what you see is you see a lot of religion. You see even religious leaders in this passage. You see Jesus trying to correct some things in the early parts of Luke 13. Title again, The Difference Between Religion and True Salvation. Let me just tell you the first thought. True salvation involves personal repentance. True salvation involves personal repentance. When I come to a passage, and many times I kind of, because we do verse by verse, I can know where I'm going a few weeks ahead. And I wasn't sure where I was going to go with this passage. So I was a little bit, vexed is what's coming to my mind, but that's not. I was challenged. Am I going to try to explain why towers fall on some and towers don't fall on others? And then I got so much peace. No, because if Jesus does it, I'm not going to. You know, and so there are things that are going to happen in life. And what the Lord says here is, just look at this, look at verse 1. He says, There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. There's nothing in history that talk about this instance, but this is Pilate. You know, immediately in my mind, I always want to think Herod was always doing the bad things, but Pilate killed some people. That's what it means when it said mingled, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So I read some historical events that Pilate had done, and he was an evil man. He was a ruthless ruler. And so there was this story, they said, you know, they were just telling him about this. How terrible is this? And what Jesus says, Jesus answering with them, Suppose ye that these Galileans, verse 2, were sinners above all Galileans, being that because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Here's an issue we have. We are looking at others and comparing ourselves to others. And really what we need to do is we just need to deal with this old tiger by the tail that I've got right here, right? It is this. I mean, I hear it all the time. There'll be some in this auditorium this morning that one day, if you're not careful and you don't keep your focus on Christ, that you will use men, you will use people as the reason why you don't honor God anymore. Doesn't mean you have to go to Hope Baptist Church for the rest of your life. But I will tell you this. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, You need to have a church home. That's not, I'm just telling you, don't use men as an excuse. If you are waiting for someone to do something and give you an excuse why you don't anymore, oh, that'll happen real fast. Because you'll have a million excuses. Our problem is we look at people and we're always trying to say, what did they do? Or look at them, wow, I'm glad I'm not like them. And Jesus, knowing the hearts and minds of people, they were talking to him about this, and this is how we think. What did they do to have Pilate kill them? And so just look at 2 Corinthians here, chapter 10. It says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. Don't, when it says we make ourselves not of the number, it's of the masses. Don't do what everybody else does. Don't do this. This is instruction to believers. We dare not make ourselves of the number. Don't be like everybody else. Or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. It's this. It doesn't take long to find out what somebody's priority is when they talk about themselves. Me. My. This. It's like, it is, it's incredible. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It is so easy to do. It comes naturally. Remember this? I've said this a million times. What comes naturally is not good. You know, when my kids, you know, they would do something and they'd, Dad, I'm so sorry. I said, you know, I forgive you. That was normal. They always knew after a while, oh, that was never a compliment. In order for us to have victory, it can only come through Christ, and it must be supernatural. If you do what comes naturally, you will compare yourselves among yourselves, and all of a sudden, that's your focus of life, and you will be mediocre at best. Jesus, now he's talking about this, and he's talking about from an eternal perspective. He says, you know, if you don't perish, because they talked about, you know, the Galileans that Pilate killed, talking about this tower that fell on 18 people and killed them. And he says, if you don't repent, you shall likewise perish. It's the issue with every single person in this room. There are some that are lost. And again, I remind you, what does it mean to be lost? You're lost in your sins. You don't have a way. You haven't found the way to heaven, and it's only in Christ. You're lost. Or you've been rescued. You've been saved. The Bible splits people into twos, saved and lost. And there's many different descriptions to that. It's this. If you don't repent, you must. So I love our new pens. So I forgot your name. Young lady that's brand new today. What's your name? Brooklyn. I'll remember New York the next time. But hey, get that pen out that I gave you. Get that pen out. I love our new pens. I'm so happy. All right, read what's on that pen. Other side. What? All right, I know. Just hang on. I'm going to switch pens with you. I got a better pen. There are new pens. All right, yeah, good. All right. I know. You guys don't have anything to do today, so, all right, here we go. Here, I'll take that pen, and here you go, brand new pen. All right, now tell me, on the better pen, what's it say on that pen now? You know, I love that, right? So, good thing I switched your pen. So, I want you to know this. You must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it only comes through God. I want you to understand this. Repent. It's a change of mind, a change of direction. It is, and here's, it's, I want to explain this to you. I don't want to make it too complicated. I want you to understand this. We are saved by grace through faith, but we must turn from the old way and turn in faith to Christ. Now, I told you all that this is our issue, everyone in this room, is sin. I want you to understand this. I need to change my mind and turn from bad thinking and sin in my own life, and I must overcome this flesh, every single one of us. But I will tell you this, here's the key. if you don't repent and turn to Jesus Christ by faith and complete trust in Him, you cannot go to heaven. You will likewise perish. It is, so I ask people all the time, I'll say, what does God require for heaven? And some people say, repent. And you'll be shocked with this. I'll say, what good does that do? See, it's not just repentance. You could be an alcoholic here today, and you could turn from that. You could change your mind about that, and you could have victory over that, and you'd still go to hell. See, it's a change of mind, a change of direction. The Bible says that wide is the path to destruction. You're going this way. You must turn. That's repent. Turn, abandoning all. Turn in faith to Christ. It's, you can't hang on to any sin. It's what terrifies people. It's, can you trust Jesus? And no, you don't need to learn anything else. You need to understand this. What Jesus has done for you, He took upon Himself your sin. He was punished by the Father because of your sin and my sin. His flesh died. He was buried. And He rose again on the third day. And if you can't trust Him for eternal life, you don't need to know more. You can't trust Him yet, because you need to know all the details. I want to tell you this. You lose your life when you trust in Christ. And that's one of the biggest reasons why people don't want Jesus. They're okay with religion. They're okay with church attendance. They're okay with this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of option. It's this. When you truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you truly repent and you truly turn from all sin, He then saves you from your sin, and then He changes you. I want you to know this. Jesus said, repent or perish. You cannot hang on to any sin. I only tell you this because it's one that comes up more than anything. So we're gonna love homosexuals here, but they cannot hold on to their homosexuality and go to heaven. You understand that? We're going to love people that have any sin. It's the one I deal with most, and they've told me this. This is the one that people just tell me this. They'll go, if you're telling me that I must stop this lifestyle, they don't say it that way, but close enough, right? They say, if you're telling me I must stop this. I had a lady at Thornton's, you've heard this before. She said, if you're telling me I must divorce my wife, it was a woman divorcing her wife, then I want nothing to do with Jesus. I just told her, I said, I'm not telling you that. Let's just have a Bible study, you and my wife. And I'll let God tell you that. And I didn't tell her that part. You see, it's, understand this. What she said was, I'll take Jesus, but I'm not going to let go of this sin. I will not turn from this sin. She said, if you're telling me that, and I'm just going to teach you the Bible. Right? I want you to understand this. There's no sin you can hold on to and be saved. It's a change of mind. It's a change of direction. And you still have this flesh. I want you to understand this. It's not you declaring that you will be perfect. It's just that I'm done. I'm tired of depending on me. And by God's grace, I don't want to be the man I was. I'm going, a woman I was. I'm going to turn from the way I've been. I'm done. I don't know what it all means. You don't have to understand what it all means. I don't want anything that'll keep me from Christ. I'm turning from all, repent, and I'm turning in faith to Christ. Understand, that's the only way you won't perish. Now for the believer, I'll tell you what will destroy your life is sin. What will cause you to be ineffective for Christ is sin. And so it all begins here. Repentance, I love it. It's a change of mind. It's the change of mind. And if you're a Christian, now just remember this. God's given you all you need to have victory over your sin. Let's just look at a couple more verses that deal with repentance, right? I said true salvation involves repentance. But it's not you turn from your sin and you're done. I want to tell you this, it's a daily thing. And it does start in the mind. You know, I'm not saying this in all cases, I'm not saying this, but they call it mental illness because you're thinking about it all the time. I'm not saying that's all the cases, I'm not saying there's not need for medicine, I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you this, stop thinking about sin. Ask God to make you conscious that I want to have a change of mind. I don't want to think on that anymore, so that I don't act out on that anymore, and God will give you victory. But let's just look at Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted. That means to be turned. Be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. If you, I'm just telling you this, This is the scariest part for people. It's Jesus and nothing else. Do you want Christ? And then I ask every Christian here, do you want Christ? Is Christ truly your focus? Is Christ truly the love of your life? And that's where you have to exercise your mind. You have to have a change of mind and say, I want Christ. I want to honor Him. I must turn from this, because there's an eternal perishing and there's a temporal perishing. You know what will kill you? Sin. You know what will cause your life to be wasted? Sin. I must turn from that or I will perish. I will perish. Then Acts 17:30, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, I won't go to that, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I want you to understand this. It is, don't make it more complicated than it is. It's this. Here's what you have to have. You have to have enough faith that says, I don't want to hold on to anything. I don't want to hold on to religion. I don't want to hold on to some religious act I've done. I want to let go of everything by God's grace. I've changed my, I don't know what it's going to cost, but I'm okay that whatever it take, I'll turn. I just want Christ. When you turn in faith to Christ, you're saved. That's salvation. Oh, Christian, don't lose the desire to make things right with God. Don't lose the desire or even the sensitivity to hate sin. Sin is what just, it's the problem with the world is not God. The problem with the world is Christians that we hold on to and we justify. You know how we justify our sin? Because I'm comparing myself to you, or you. Or I'll find somebody else that I think I'm better than, right? And then all of a sudden, I'm okay. You know, I love this. So I'm going to tell on you, Jaron. That's the problem. When you hang around me, you become a sermon illustration. And so you guys are like, that's why we don't. So I love this. And Jaron did an awesome job. I mean, I'm telling you this. Did you notice all the pebbles were gone and they were swept up beautifully? I mean, just wonderfully. But he did ask this one question, because Levi is an escape artist. And Jaron asked in the middle, he goes, where's Levi? I don't know if I said this. I thought this. Did I say this, Jaron? I wanted to say, well, don't worry about it. You'll get all the rewards. Did I tell you that yesterday? Did I tell you that? Okay, I did tell you that, because it went through my mind. I just thought, don't worry. You won't have to split the rewards with Levi. I don't know if you even have to split them. You know, I'm just making things up there, right? But it is, that needs to be our mentality. It is, it's just good to serve the Lord. It's just good to serve Him. And so ask the Lord today, Lord, what do I need to repent of? What do I need to have a change of mind about? You know, what do I need to think differently about so that I might honor You? I want you to understand this. Repentance is toward God. You know, there's a false repentance that's not reconciling to God. It's regret. It's like, oh, I hate this situation. You know, because whether you're saved or lost in here this morning, sin will mess up your life. The first thing you ought to think of if your life's messed up is, what sin is causing this? And it may not be any sin, but that's the first place I look. Because I know God loves me, and so it's this, what sin is there? And so most people only get bothered about their sin when they bear the consequences. When it's like, ah, life's a mess. You know? Oh man, I was speeding, and then all of a sudden I get convicted about it, right? It's like, well, I'll tell you what, officer, how are you doing today? You know what it says on this other side of the pen? Please be merciful to me, a sinner. I need to have a few of those pens, right? But all of a sudden, man, I'm convicted speeding. Wasn't until I was caught. Wasn't until I was in the midst of my consequences. You see, it's this. Oh, that we would be broken because we dishonored the King. Psalm 51 is just beautiful, where David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Wait a minute, David. You committed adultery with a woman and you killed her husband. Oh, but the true root of it was his sin was against God. He didn't value God. God wasn't worthy. God wasn't worth it. God wasn't enough. for him to not get sidetracked and think he needed another woman. God's not pro multiple wives, but God actually told David, he said, you know, I would have given you more wives if that's what you wanted, but no, you stole another man's wife. David got to thinking bad, got to seeing bad, got to doing bad. But when he got right with God, yes, he sinned against Bathsheba and against Uriah and against all of their family. But it's really against God. Why do I sin, Brother Lee? Because I don't value God. He's not my priority. Will I regret that? I think I will. I don't know how that's going to be balanced in eternity. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no tears. I think I'll be able to have awareness. But it's, oh, repent or perish. You don't want to waste your life? Nobody in this room. Nobody in this room wants to be a loser. Right? The Bible defines what a winner is. Those that turn in faith to Christ, and oh, Christian, we need that regularly. Still at the beginning of a new year, what are we going to do about it? Oh, ask God. Give me true repentance. Remember this, it's just think on the good things. Stop thinking about the bad things. You stop thinking about the things that will derail you. You just stop thinking about it and say, I'm going to stop thinking about it. I'm going to think on good things and then replace it. True salvation involves personal repentance. I say personal repentance. I want to beg you with this. Was there ever a time in your life where you understood you deserved hell? And that you, the only hope you had was turn in faith to Christ. And it changed your life. I can't remember. This is a struggle. But I heard something a week or two ago, and I just thought it was so good. It's so many people, when I ask them, are you going to heaven? And then I'll say, yeah, they'll say, I'm a Christian. I'll say, well, so you're born again? Yes, I'm born again. I go, well, tell me about that. And then I'll say, tell me about your walk with Christ. And here's all they have to say. Well, when I was 8 years old, when I was 12 years old, when I was 16 years old, I remember how I went forward and I trusted Christ. I say, well, how's that impacting you today? Silence 80% of the time. See, salvation is just not the key to heaven. Salvation is a new master, a new Lord, a new life. And it begins with repentance. Oh, Christian, you leave today with one prayer. Oh, God, grant unto me repentance and awareness that I would truly stop thinking about the sin and start thinking about you and start thinking about all the things that are your goodness and your blessings and your glory. Starts right here. Second thing I want you to see with this story, we got the fig tree. How's that? I don't want that to show up yet. So anyway, okay, I'll leave that there. But true salvation results in fruit. I'm going to get to these 4 points that I read. They're not mine. But just look at this, verse 6 through 9. He spake also this parable. So I think he's taking them through. So he's dealing with repentance. Repent, or you shall likewise perish. And then he does this fig tree. What's the purpose of the fig tree? Because this fig tree didn't bear fruit. It was 3 years and no fruit. And the Lord of the vineyard comes and says, cut it down. Get rid of it. I have trees because I want fruit. And you got to see this. The dresser of the vineyard says in verse 8, Lord, let it alone this year. Father, or just Lord, you know, he's just Lord of the vineyard. Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that shalt thou cut it down. I won't go into this. John 15. I don't know how many people agree or disagree with me. John 15 talks about, just turn there. I'll just do 3 minutes. Yeah, famous last words. John 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, just the next book to the right. John 15. John 15, verse 1. John 15, verse 1. John 15, verse 1 says this, I am the true vine, Jesus speaking, and my Father is the husbandman. So Jesus is the vine. Every branch in me, every branch in the vine that beareth not fruit. So I take this, every branch in me. The only way you can be in Christ is by faith in Jesus Christ. But if you're a branch in him, then you're saved. Okay, that's my total basis for these thoughts. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, he prunes it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. And so look at verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and all men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. Now that's the controversy. So, you know, typically fire is judgment, and in most of the time when something's cast into the fire, it's eternal fire, eternal judgment. But in this case, he's talking to the 11. Judas has gone to betray Jesus, and he's giving them this truth. And he's talking to them this: if you don't abide in me, you won't bear fruit. If you don't bear fruit, you'll be treated as a branch that doesn't bring fruit, and you'll be cast in the fire. And so it's, you'll be removed. I want to tell you this, just the simple truth is this. And it could be Galatians 5, right? Galatians 5 said the fruits of the Spirit. So I'll give you this, the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and temperance. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith. No, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. There's nine. I knew when I had eight fingers, I'm like, oh, I left one out. I left out faith. So listen to the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Thank you. Who did you say that? Long-suffering. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. They're an outcome. I want to tell you this. The fruits of the Spirit are an outcome if you're saved. You ought to see this evidence. And what will cause love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, meekness, and temperance? What would cause that to be diminished? What would cause it to be diminished, Damien? Sin. So then what do I do? I don't want my sin to quench the Spirit, get in that way. I need to repent of my sin and do what's right. See, the fruits of the Spirit, they're fruits of the Spirit. Here's what the Bible says. When you're saved, we looked at this a couple weeks ago on Sunday night, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you, and then he will bear those fruits from you. But I also believe in this case that it's fruit. It is just simply what a fruit tree does. A fruit tree reproduces itself. And it is, there is this thought, if we don't reproduce ourselves, then the Lord will, he will remove us. And he's super long-suffering and super patient. I think I've researched this in the past. I didn't for this message. But the longest wait for a fruit tree, I think it's a nut tree in Brazil, it's 19 years. You plant it, and you don't get fruit for 19 years. Got to have a lot of patience. Forget what nut it is. Probably don't eat it that much because it would sound expensive, right? Been 19 years in the making. And it's this. True salvation results in fruit. Let me help you with this. How do you know if you've truly repented? How do you know if you've truly trusted in Christ? It's the question of the day, right? You'll care about people. You'll want to tell people about Jesus. You will want to. Now, I will tell you, we had a great time in Sunday school today, and it was just worded in a way that I sparked you. I'm probably going to butcher it. But it's sort of like this, because I want you to know this. We talk this all the time. It's difficult. It's difficult. So Brooklyn, I'm going to call you out, you know, because it really helps visitors when I call them out. No, it's not. It doesn't. It's the worst thing in the world to do, but that's just what I do anyway. But so it was probably super hard for you to come here today, right? Oh, you were. You were. Oh, was it super hard the first time? A little bit, yeah. Did I ask you to read on the other side of the pen? I didn't. So I knew it was the second time. I didn't really. I totally forgot. But it is, let me tell you this. It was probably really difficult for these guys to say, come to church. A lot easier to say, come to whatever. It's just a struggle, right? We find a million excuses why we don't do the work of the Lord, why we don't tell people about Jesus. And what I loved is this. It was so good. It was a nuance, but I want to highlight the nuance. If you are telling people about Jesus, because you want them to be saved. Is that good or bad, Grant? It's good. Is that best? Oh, what's best? The glory of God. And I want to get it. It's because we want to honor Christ. It's because, it's like getting my wife flowers, which I never do, but I should. And because she told me a long time ago, don't buy anything that dies. But then I realized this. She would like occasionally things that die, but got it in my head too much. But it's this. You know what? I honor her for the day, and the flowers won't last forever. When you tell somebody about Jesus, it honors Jesus right then and there. You've succeeded. I think it's great that we would want to see people saved. I think it's the heartbeat of our Savior. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But I'll tell you, there was something more important than that. He came to honor the Father. He came to do what the Father wanted. And I tell you this because it was so refreshing for me. And it's not like I don't believe this, but it was just a good thought. I can honor Christ in the moment, no matter what their response. You can pursue family. You can pursue friends. You can pursue loved ones. And I want you to know this, you've honored Christ. Oh, I want you to pain that they would have eternal life. I want you to pain in the reality of eternal damnation. I want you to pain over souls, but I don't want you to use that and the devil will, your flesh will, your mind will, to say, I've done that and nothing ever happens. Oh no, Joe, what can happen is I've honored Christ, and if I can remember that, He loves it. He loves it. I don't know what's going to happen with that seed that I planted. Sometimes the devil comes and takes it away. If I focus on that, I quit. But oh, when we focus on Christ and we love the Lord, and he said this in John 15, you were already there, but he says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. He's interested that you would bear much fruit. He's interested in that. But I'll tell you what will keep you going. I'll tell you what will keep you faithful, is that you're focused on Jesus Christ. You can honor Jesus today. You can honor Him today. I told our Sunday school class, and so I'll tell you because there's a lot more in here. You never know how God's going to use it. Young man at Thornton's, he's come once with his mother. I'm trying to have a Bible study with him and his girlfriend, Bree. And yesterday he said, let me show you this. So, and sad news, they put a quietus at Thornton's, no more free fountain soft drinks. And I told him, I said, I won't be coming here anymore. No, I said, I'm not coming here for free drinks, right? I said, I'll let you pay for mine, but no more free soft drinks, right? I could tell he seemed stressed the other day, so he kind of walked out when I was there because he didn't want to deal with it, right? I said, that's okay. That's all right. But he said, let me show you this. And it sounded just like Elia, but I'm not going to do an Elia story. So let me show you, because Elia, she'd rather have a phone than anything else in her life. Let me show you. And she has no facial awareness. She's like, hey, here you go. And it's like, whoa, Elia, we got all Elia. Anyway, back to this. He showed me his phone, and he took a picture of a track. He said, I went to the restroom at a gas station. And he said, on the toilet paper dispenser was this track, TRACT. It just had a picture of a coffin and said, when you're here, it'll be too late to do anything about your soul. And he told me, he said, 8 or 9 people have given me these kind of things over the last couple of months. He goes, we need to meet. So those 8 or 9 people that were just putting down tracks, you know what they did? They honored Christ. If we say, I've never seen results from door knocking. I've never seen results from passing out tracks, waste of time. Not if you honored Christ. Isn't that beautiful? It was just refreshing for me. And then you know what I would expect? You be faithful and you will bear fruit. You be faithful and God will bless. You know what? That's why the Bible says we sow in tears that we might reap in joy. But I want you to understand this. When God saves you, it's that we might bear fruit. And I love it. It's so good for me. So good for me. I love it. I can honor Christ today. And I do want people to be saved. And I have to be super careful. If people aren't being saved here, I do. I believe this. Something's wrong. You know what I'd say was wrong? We're not honoring Christ, right? If People aren't being saved here. We're not doing what's right. You understand that? That's the issue. It's not that Jesus is like, no, not doing it. We're not honoring him. But boy, if we honor him, it's just, so Ron, thank you for that. Don't get the big head, I know. But it was of God. We always say that, right? I want to compliment people, but it was so refreshing to me. And it's really nothing new per se, but it was just, what a great reminder. I want to show you this. This is from a commentator that I read that talked about this. The tree that didn't bear fruit. And the gardener said, hey, let's give it one more year. It's this. Uselessness invites disaster. Ask God to help you be useful. Just remember this. You can give somebody a tract. Got them in the tract rack back there. You know, read them before you pass them out. Just pass them out and say, hey, this is what the Bible says is necessary for heaven. No matter what their response, you can honor Christ. Uselessness invites disaster. Second, if something only takes, it cannot survive. This tree sucking up the nutrients and was never giving. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. It's be a giver. If you're all about me, my, and mine, you, just listen to your conversation. Is it all about you? Something's wrong. It's more blessed to give than receive. If you only take, you can't survive. It's God's plan. It's God's plan. Third, God gives second chances. Isn't that good news? He gives second chances, third chances, fourth chances. God is not... When the anvil falls of judgment, it's after great long-suffering of God. But then this one, and I thought these were just good. There is a final chance. I'm not saying, and I think that is really at death. When you're dead, it's over. You have no idea who's going to be alive and who isn't in this room. It is, you need to take care of business today. God's dealing with your heart. You know you're lost. You know you do not know for sure that you have a home in heaven. And I know this, you're going to just say, I need to think about it more. And you'll walk out those doors. Hey, why don't you just grab me? If it's a lady, you can get with me. I'll get you one of our ladies. And it is that we can just show you in the scriptures. So you know what? You can keep running. You can keep fleeing. You need to deal with God right now, right when he speaks. And fear is not why you'll ever be saved. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But you need to understand this. You don't know tomorrow. You need to deal with God today. And the only reason you'll be saved is that you can trust him. That's what faith is. You can completely trust him, not only for your eternity, but for your life. You're going to lose it for him, and he will lead your life. But many of you will leave. I've been burdened. I ache for our children. The children that sit in here week after week, month after month, and they leave lost. I don't know what to do. Parents, you think you have a dilemma? I know, parents, you just keep teaching them the Bible. We could get everybody to say a prayer. We could get everybody to go through the motions. But God says it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. I want every one of our children to think about this. Why have you rejected Jesus Christ? You're not rejecting the preacher. You're rejecting Jesus. It's a big deal. Just wrestle with God. You must turn from your childishness and trust in Christ, that you can trust him. And he'll save you. I'm burdened. My words, I'm not trying to manipulate children, my words, but I just want to tell you, I'm burdened about it. And I know this. Our children aren't stupid. The children that are lost in this room, they know it. I just want you to, it's you need to wrestle with God. First two points, true salvation involves personal repentance, and true salvation results in fruit. And then the final one, I want you to show you this. It's just, to me, and this will be less points, you know, so if you're worrying about time. Here we have this woman that Jesus heals, and he is strategic. He healed her on the Sabbath because he wanted to. And he wanted to make a point. It's always good to do good. A day of rest is God's principle in his word, and I am I'm borderline at ignoring that, but I will tell you this, I believe this with all my heart. Sunday is my day of rest. I get rest. This is not work for me. I'm going to trust the Lord with that. I just bring people to but I better not ignore God's command that we work 6 days and we rest one. You need that. You think you're smarter than God? That's just a physical understanding. But here's the reality. In America, nobody works 6 days anymore. How about working 6 days? To where you'll want a day of rest. But I don't think our issue in America is rest, but it is important. God designed our bodies, and he said, this is how I've designed you. I did find it interesting. I mentioned this from the pulpit. I didn't realize this until the other day. How many quarts of blood do you have in you, Damien? No idea. 5 to 6 quarts. 5 to 6 quarts. I found this. Everything we design after the human body. How many quarts of oil does a car engine have? 5 to 6. Is that fascinating? We couldn't design an airplane without paying attention to the birds. We can't do an engine. The life of the body is in the blood. The life of an engine is in the oil. Everything's about God. You think you're smarter than God. God designed you. He said, have a day of rest. Now, I want you to know this. The Bible says that Christ is our rest. You're stressed out? You're stressed out? Rest in Christ. Yeah, I'm telling you, that's where your stress relief. So don't leave this message and go, we're just gonna do nothing. And a Sabbath is not a Sabbath, a rest from God. It's a rest in God. It's a rest in Christ. It's actually where we commune with him more on that day of rest. But that's not the point. That was a freebie, just so you know. True salvation results in compassion for people. This is so shocking for me, but this is so our world today, but it was the world 2,000 years ago. This religious leader, this Pharisee, this ruler of the synagogue, look at verse 14. Jesus heals this woman. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Now, I do care more for animals than I get credit for. I get credit for. You know, I do. I do. But I don't want to care for animals more than I do people. And so, you know, I would tell you this. Oh, boy, I have no idea anybody working in here, right? Don't say it then. You know, if I were you, I'm just going to tell you, don't waste your time working at an animal shelter. Okay? How about a people shelter? Pour yourself into people. The world, the lost, will take care of the animals. Promise you. Guaranteed. Why in the world would a Christian waste your time? Okay, I know. I'm getting in trouble here. Okay, is it a waste of time? I don't know. I don't know. Have compassion on people. Care for the dog, you know? I have a dog now in my house, if you don't know. Man, am I having fun with that guy. Let me tell you a new trick I got. This is just a freebie because you guys were losing attention. So he got this new dog, Roy. You can imagine where they got it. You know, Roy Walton from Walmart, super cheap. So I love this. He always has this collar on. And so he drives me nuts. So I can get him to leave me alone for about 30 minutes. Because what I do is I put Roy underneath the collar in the back. And he's like, rolling. And it is, anyway, I do like Flynn. Flynn's good. But here I want to ask you this. When's the last time you thought of people? And you said, I want to help people. And people are a pain in the neck. You know how to avoid trouble in life? Leave people out. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't leave you out? Jesus came because of his Father and because he loved people and he loved the world, right? Jesus came and what did it bring him? It brought him a lot of trouble. Brought him a lot of problems. In fact, it brought him to the cross. If you and I, if you say, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I love Jesus. I want you to review your life right now. Where are the people that you pray for? Where are the people that you love? Where are the people that you help? Jesus said this. Ought not I help this woman? Look at this. Look at verse 16. I'm almost finished. He said, ought not this woman, her being a woman, right? The Bible calls women the weaker vessel because they weren't designed as strong men. He goes, I want to help this woman, a creation of God. This woman, created in the image of God, a daughter of Abraham. She's an Israelite, a Jew, whom Satan hath bound. Cannot we have compassion? And it's been 18 years shouldn't she be loosed from this bond? I want you to understand this. If God saved you and loosed you from the bondage of sin, why can't we care for people? It may be that we've never truly turned in faith to Christ. Because if you have, you will have compassion. It's okay if you have compassion on animals too. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you that. It is people. People need the Lord. People are dying and going to hell. And people might not like it. Ask God for kindness. Ask God for gentleness. Be loving. But I'm telling you this. It is. Remember this. Why will we care for people? The honor of Christ. If you care for people because it makes you feel good, that won't last long. But if you care for people because Christ is honored, you just might get up the next day and say, I'll care for people again. I love the Bible. Isn't Jesus good? He deals with our core issue, and that is sin. Sin will ruin our lives. If you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, it will damn your soul. I don't tell you that in delight, nor does God. It's a truth and a reality. Oh, Christian, sin will destroy you. If you are not being used of God, I'm going to tell you it has to come down to sin. It doesn't have to be deep, dark sin, whatever you want to call that, but it's just living for someone else other than Christ. We must turn from our sin. And I'll tell you this, we must be in the fruit-making business, and the only reason it's going to keep you going day after day will be the glory of Christ. And then remember this, it's people. I'm weird, you're weird, everybody's weird, okay? I know you guys are like, did you just say I'm weird? Weirder than me, too. You know what? Love the weirdos. Love people. With a group this size, no doubt we can turn Fairfield upside down. But it's going to require repentance, focus on Christ, and compassion for people. If you're lost this morning, nothing else matters. Have you truly turned from your sin? God will save you. Let's pray.